Hi, my name's Olivia Weatherburn. I'm the National Extension Program Manager at Beef and Lamb New Zealand. And today on the Seen and Heard podcast, I am joined by Christy McGregor, the publisher and founder of Shepherdess. Christy, very wonderful to have you here. How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's great. So Shepherdess is much more than a magazine that we're going to find out about as part of catching up with Christy today. But Beef and Lamb New Zealand has been one of the founding supporters of the Shepherdess over the last couple of years, as it aligns with some of the values here at Beef and Lamb New Zealand, championing the sector and telling our farming stories. It's all about supporting the wahine and the network of females who are out there in droves, and they continue to be growing in numbers when it comes to women working on the land and running some of the sector's largest businesses. And we see this as a great platform, Christy, to females to tell their stories and shine a spotlight on them, because as we know, some of them like to go behind the spotlight and not be out there in it, but there's so many wonderful things happening out there. Rather than us coming up with creating all those stories and doing that by ourselves, it made sense to align with yourself and the Shepherdess brand to be able to support and uplift those out there. So thank you very much for everything you've done so far. But let's, before we dive in, finding out about what Shepherdess is and going in that journey, who is Christy McGregor?
So I grew up on just on a quarter acre block in Camden, which is on the edge of Sydney. So I'm Australian, and I ended up on a large cattle station in Western Queensland as soon as I could leave home and get out west via a short stint at uni at Wagga. Yeah, and now I'm living on a dairy and beef farm in the Horowhenua, yeah, just between Levin and Otaki there. My partner is a dairy and beef farmer, and we've got two little kids, Tully, who's three, and Hartley, who's five and just started school. Yeah, I don't know, spare time. I don't really have much spare time.
Doesn't sound like it. And great to hear that we've been able to convert you into being a Kiwi and living on our shores. And awesome that you have come over, because otherwise we wouldn't have this amazing product that's available to the wahine and females across New Zealand. So tell us, what is Shepherdess?
Good question. So it started as a magazine, but I guess the intention, it was for me, it's not about the magazine really. It's just that the magazine's a good tool to connect people and connect women. But I guess, yeah, it did start in its physical form as a magazine. And where it came from was I just saw that there was a need for stories to be shared and told. My introduction to dairy farming in New Zealand wasn't the flashiest, I must say. I came over having met my partner in Australia, and he was coming back to run or take over the family farm, and I had no idea what to expect, what dairying was like, really. And it was 14 to 16 hour days, and he'd come up home, want to feed, and then fall asleep on the couch, and then repeat the next day. And that was it for like a year, without any days off. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is this? I know I'm not selling it right now. Yeah, so it was very isolating, to be honest. And I think when you share stories that you connect with people and you feel like that you're not alone in your experiences, and that, you're part of something more. And so it was sort of a combination of fostering that community, but also seeing that there were so many wonderful things happening in New Zealand, in rural New Zealand, both in the agricultural sector and more broadly in rural communities. But New Zealanders are so modest, and they're not gonna shout it from the rooftops. And like you said, like women are often doing things quietly, chipping away. And it was like, oh, but I want to hear those stories. And yeah, so it was about creating a space for stories to be shared and told. And then I guess since it started, it sort of evolved a bit since then. But yeah, but that's where it was originally.
Yeah, so from feeling isolated to having now a whole network of women around you, that change over the years will have been very empowering as well.
Yeah, it has been hugely, like it's I hope that we are having an impact more broadly, but personally too, it's been huge. Like I work with an incredible team of women who are based that, we've built up with Shep, and they're based on farms and kitchen tables and all around New Zealand. And every day I'm getting this great interaction myself. So, but hopefully we're doing that on a wider scale with the magazine.
So I can imagine, like, you've got an idea for a magazine, and it's not a matter of going, right, gonna write some articles, add some pictures, and then send it off to print. There's probably a lot more involved in it to get it off. So how did you go about those early days? You've got this idea, you want to connect with others and share stories. How do you go about getting that first publication ready for print and getting other women on board at the start?
So I had no idea how to do a magazine. I hadn't come from any kind of media background or so it was definitely like a plunge in the deep end. I started talking to Claire Dunn, who runs Grey's Air in Australia, a wonderful magazine, and she's built that up over the last sort of 5 or 6 years. So we started talking about creating something here. And so we started just with an Instagram page. And by the way, I didn't even know how to use Instagram, so I had to learn. And we just started sharing photos that women in ag sector were posting, and we started chatting to women and doing those stories. I was writing some of them. I'm not a writer, but you learn on as you go. Yeah, it was just very much very like low key, low cost, sort of as basic as we could do, and putting it up on a website. And then it was really over the course of that year that we were working towards a printed magazine, and we knew that was the goal, but. Yeah, and then at the end of the year, Claire needed to focus on the Australian magazine. So that's how I came to be on my own, stepping into producing a print magazine, which I had no idea how to do and wouldn't have probably started, off my own, just on my own. Claire very kindly, with a whiteboard, showed me how to even plan out a magazine and what you do with what pages and what goes where and things like that. So it was a bit of like a 101 session in Whanganui on the whiteboard. But yeah, it's been a steep learning curve, but also a lot of fun. I guess the hardest thing about starting a magazine and just like preparing for the first print run, with every print run is significant cost, is just like, well, how do you make the viability of it work? So what we did do, which maybe is a little bit different to sort of other publishing spaces, but I went around and spoke to organizations that I thought might be keen to come on board and support the concept right from the start. And actually, Beef and Lamb was the first organization. It was Rowena Hume, and I do remember this in the Wellington office when I went in and I said, I've got this idea, and I ex just all I could do was verbalize, what it was in a probably a really shitty partnership prospectus done in Canva, to say, would you be keen? And yeah, and she said, yeah, we'll jump on board and we'll get behind you and right from the start. And I think that's a real testament. And I do think very fondly of Beef and Lamb, because of that, right from the start, seeing that this could have an impact for women in the sector. Yeah.
Definitely, and a platform for people to tell their stories. Shine that spotlight on them, and definitely with the current challenges, the climate, everyone's going through at the moment, telling stories couldn't be more important. So now that you've got that established and down the track, I think, yeah, from a Beef and Lamb perspective, we're very proud to be partnered with you and being able to support that, because it is another platform to connect with people. When you first went around those business, what made you approach Beef and Lamb initially?
Well, I see that you're, doing good in the sector and there to, representing the sector and doing. So I used to work for Federated Farmers when I first moved to New Zealand, and that was a great way to, get on the ground and sort of hear how farmers are feeling. And, I know that Beef and Lamb are out there and embedded in rural communities and, doing lots of good work. So yeah, it felt natural that to find that sort of. That what we were intending to do, and I hope what we have done over the last 4 years, is about telling industry good stories, really putting a positive light on the sector. I mean, as I shared my story before about my first impressions moving to New Zealand and farming, there's always room to talk about challenges and how we can improve on those challenges and things like that. But so it's not glossing over things, but also actually there's like this wealth of incredible stories and so much good stuff happening, and let's shout about that.
I definitely, it's so true. For around every success story, there is challenges, and it hasn't been as smooth sailing or as glossy as it may look on the surface. There is always a story behind it that others go, actually, I can also do that because I have that challenge. Oh, they didn't get it handed to them, or it didn't happen overnight. And it's being able to inspire and uplift and keep that, and realize people actually keep doing that great work. And at the moment, as I said, that couldn't be even more important for us to be helping share those stories. It aligns with our beef and lamb goals and our values of telling those farmer stories. Because at the end of the day, we're by farmers for farmers, and it's the farmers out there that are doing the great work on the ground. And having another platform like yours to be able to share on is not reinventing wheels, it's supporting and uplifting, and it adds all those elements.
Absolutely. And I think, even in like our own story of, or as I've just shared about learning how to make a magazine, look at the whiteboard. But so we went to print for the first edition and we ordered, printed 5,000 copies. And they arrived at the cow shed and Mike unloaded it with the tractor. And then about within the week, Jacinda closed, or, the government closed the borders. People weren't allowed to come into the country because it was COVID. COVID had hit. And, it's just, you could not have expected that to occur as it did. It just
There
sort
would
of
have been no lack of reading at the cow shed for over COVID then.
Well,
Every cow had a personal copy.
then it was like, what do I do with these magazines? Because suddenly all the ways that you think you might share something with people and get it out there, you're not going to the hairdresser, you're not going to the cafe, or you're not going to an event. So I was like, what do we do? We have to be creative. And that's where we started Rural Road Reach and, getting magazines out to neighbors that lived along roads to share and things like that. But there's always these stories in any, as you say, in any sort of growth story.
Definitely. So the first issue was 2020 then.
So we're 4 years, four, we're 16 editions down now.
Oh, congratulations, and I'm sure there'll be many more to come. You've talked about some of the challenges so far, but what is the real mission for Shepherdess?
I think the heart and guts of it is vibrant provincial New Zealand, and I think that's something a lot of us can are all striving towards in our own different ways and can relate to. But yeah, for me, it's about, and this is where the magazine fits in, and then so does, some other things that we're doing, like the muster next month or like TV series. But all these little pieces contribute to a vibrant, connected rural New Zealand and good things happening in communities and sharing those.
And when you first started, did you have a target audience in mind, or has that evolved over time from where you originally had it? So people that are picking that magazine up off the shelf now, what does that their general story look like, or their background?
I guess we, when you start something, you're meant to have done, all the studies and have all the facts and figures and sort of for your business case. I think I just knew that I'd talked to enough women, like in the farming sector, when I started to, seriously get into the magazine, that knew that there was a need for, like, I wasn't the only one feeling isolated. And, I think farms in New Zealand, yes, they're much closer together than, say, the Australian outback, but geographic isolation or closeness is very different to social isolation. And you can be geographically, very close to one another, but that doesn't mean that there's not social isolation going on. I just knew that there was women, sort of in their teens through to their, 60s or later, that 80s, that were wanting and wanting that connection, and set about it from that. And I think that comes through in our readership. So we did a bit of a study of our subscribers a little while back, and our subscriptions are spread very evenly from like 25 to 65 year olds. So that goes to show that sort of, focusing on, I hope that the magazine is able to be enjoyed by women of all ages, across that spectrum. Yeah, it's not just targeted on one particular demographic. And I also say that in my mind, I sort of think of our focus as really any woman in New Zealand. I say that because, so many New Zealanders that might not live on a farm, they might live in Christchurch or they might live in, in town, but they've got a huge connection. So it's sort of, we're there for the farms, but we're also there for women in the smaller towns or villages, too.
Do you believe that the magazine is probably also helping to educate our urban wahine, and not probably just wahine, the general public as well, and that's adding value back to our sector?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we get a lot of messages from women who, like, I think on first glance, maybe it looks like it's a magazine that's just for women who are, you know, shepherds and it's farming, but actually we're really targeting far more than that. And we do get really lovely feedback from women that do live in town. And, you know, we do have a growing readership from Auckland, and, you know, that people that appreciate looking at what life's like for rural folk, or finding that actually that's those stories are relatable. And like, if we talk about grief or we talk about loss, like it doesn't really matter where you are, like in New Zealand, but you can relate, you know, there's relatability. And I think that's good for the sector, because it's all about bringing the human face. Like we talk about a rural urban divide and things like that, but actually if you just bring it back to stories and people stories, I think that really cuts down on any barriers that there may be or could be there. Yeah. So yeah, it's incredibly powerful.
Yeah. And that's what I love about your magazine, that it's not just a magazine that has all the women that are doing the amazing things, winning the awards or doing, yeah, right up at the top end. You've got a whole level of women. So we definitely want to be shining the light on them as well. But you've got those women that, just, as we said, are behind the farm gate a lot of the time, sometimes, yeah, behind the kitchen door or in the office, or they're off farm supporting in some other way, that there's different levels and different journeys, different stages of their journey are being showcased throughout your magazine and a whole platform as well, isn't it?
I really hope so. That is a real conscious effort, that I'd like to think that when you pick up the magazine that you can see yourself in there, or you can see the story of your mom or your sister or your neighbour, or like that relatability. That's something that's been really important to what we do. Yes, we want to celebrate success, but it's also, it's not just you haven't had to climb Mount Everest to be featured, but actually like sharing those real everyday stories, because there are so many incredible women, and actually every person has a story to tell. That's really what guides how we approach things. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Everyone listening to this at the moment, Christy, has a story. And as you said, New Zealanders are very modest people. And it's like, oh, no, my story is boring. No, I've got nothing to share. No one can learn anything from me. Everybody has something that'll be able to learn off somebody else. And that's, I think, the whole amazing thing about our race and humans, and actually just doing what we do. We think we just go about living and day to day, but we've all got something to share, whether it's something that may be something really small to one of us, it can be quite huge and a real take home for another. As they say, one man's trash is another man's treasure. It kind of goes with stories as well, and those little things that we don't think are much can mean so much. You've got such a range of stories, and as we've talked about, how do you go about finding them? Because you don't know what you don't know. So if you don't know about these people, how do you go about finding these wonderful people that you are putting the spotlight on across Shepherdess?
Yeah, so it's really thanks to our readers who are very engaged in our community online, so on socials, and we are just inundated regularly with stories. One woman this week, she wrote in, she said, I'm nominating her family member. She said she won't want to talk, but I'm telling you, you need to talk to her. So it's, and that's that modesty thing coming through again. But yeah, I think it's just, we regularly are given ideas. We've got a great team of freelancers who are out on the ground, photographers and writers, and they are often feeding in ideas of people they've met, or, and then our team is spread out as well. So yeah, there's just, every road you go down in New Zealand, you find their stories, and it's just a matter of really uncovering them and, you know, having the time and the resource to share them. But yeah, there will never be a shortage of wonderful stories to share.
Christy, could you share your perspective with us on why it's particularly important to support and empower women in agriculture? Why do you feel that it's important we do that?
Well, I think there's obviously lots of great examples of women having a good time in the sector, but I think there's also, everyone will have a story to share with you of challenges that they've faced, and that's not necessarily from men, that can be from women too, making really hard for them. So I think that there is so many job opportunities in agriculture. This is one thing that like amazes me about the sector, and I feel so proud and like to privilege to be working in the space that's so cool as the primary sector. I think there's so many job opportunities. Whatever your skill set can lend itself to, you know, a role, whether that's behind the desk, whether that's out on the farm, you know, whatever that might be. And it's such a friendly and giving, and there's a community, and you can feel that the minute you come into ag, of like how great people, such a good bunch of people in the sector, which is incredibly rewarding. And I think that, yeah, there's just so much opportunity, and it's exciting and it's wonderful, and that women being a big part of that workforce and, is only a really positive thing for the sector, and is going to reap huge rewards as a industry. So I just think that the opportunities are limitless. We want women to be thriving in agriculture, and so whatever we can be doing to make them feel valid and valuable and seen in the industry, they're really important. And that I know that's happening through a whole range of programs. And
And for the positive impacts that you've just talked about, what do you think's the impact to industry as a whole as a result of that?
well, I think women do just bring different perspectives to things, undoubtedly. And, there's parts of agriculture that are still incredibly male dominated. You only have to look in some, or, see some recent media, or look in websites, board pages or team pages to see, how that looks. But it's like we're doing ourselves, it's a to the detriment of those organizations when you don't have women involved. Like, women bring, new ideas, even just, gosh, this is going to make me sound terribly unfeminist, which I am a proud feminist. Even just, like a nurturing, caring, people focused view of things. I think women, that's obviously a huge generalization. That's not the case in all cases, but I think just women will bring new perspectives like that to spaces. Yeah. And I guess that's why we do what we do, and like the muster, which we can talk more about coming up next month. But like, we're at a huge, if we have women are so involved in farm businesses, totally undervalued, like in terms of how they're seen to be involved. We hear the stories all the time of, when the agent rings up and wants to speak to the bloke, but actually it's the woman that's making the decisions, or, and if we don't have those women empowered to be the best that they can be, then it's just a major loss for our industry, but also for our communities.
And even though your magazine is focused on the wahine across our sector, there's quite an impact that that's having back on our male gender as well, isn't it? Have you heard any stories in regards to any of them picking up the magazine here and there and being inspired and empowered?
Well, it's funny you say that. We not in ag, but our neighbour they've just moved, but he was a builder. He's in his 60s, and he loves the magazine, and he tells me about the stories that he's read. Or we've got some of our team members, and their husbands work in the wine industry, and they'll send a photo, and there's their husband as soon as it arrives, he's the first one to pick it up. He's onto it, and it comes in the litter box. So, like, I hope that what we're doing is accessible to everyone. I don't think, my strong belief is, having like done, over the last few years and working with women, is you don't have to be women rah rah, to be, you can actually just, it's about making women visible, making women seen. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be done in a way that, and I would hope the way that we're seen to be doing it is not in a way that then is at the detriment, or it sort of completely not acknowledging the role that blokes play. Because often farming, especially on farms, and I see this in our own case, but everyone's bringing different skills to the game and
Definitely.
contributing, and it's a totally a team effort, and one can't do it without the other. Yeah, but one thing to just share with you that did come through along these lines was a little bit of feedback, and that was someone that wrote into us just this week to say that, like, just the feeling when we did a story with them, and usually the husband is the face of their business, and they felt seen, and it was really like quite an emotional time for them, because just to be putting it out there that, like, their role in it, and acknowledging that, yeah, that was really special.
And that's got to grow confidence and have a positive impact on the business and those within it.
Absolutely. Yeah, because, yeah, at the end of the day, I feel like strongly that if we have our women thriving, then our families thrive, then our businesses thrive, then our communities thrive. So it's this huge domino effect.
So you've mentioned the Shepherdess Muster a couple of times. I think we need to dive into what that is, because you said Shepherdess has evolved from more than just a magazine now. So can you elaborate on those other initiatives associated to Shepherdess and how they sort of contribute to your overall mission?
Yeah, absolutely. So the muster, our inaugural muster, finally.
Yeah, been a few sort of hiccups and bridges to cross to get here, hasn't it?
Oh my goodness. So we started planning for this with the women in Gisborne back when I was pregnant with Tully, in August of 2020. So she's over three now. So it's been a while. So the muster is a weekend for women to come together. It's comedy show, good food, 25 plus workshops, morning fitness options from dance class to hatha yoga through to going and getting a beauty appointment, get your eyebrows done, or a pedicure, through to getting a pap smear, for health appointments, doing a bit of shopping at the market stalls, you name it. It's this weekend from Friday to Sunday, and just about giving women the chance to do something for themselves. It comes or is modeled off a initiative that I started back in 2012 in Australia, and it was while I was living on a cattle station in Western Queensland, and I realized that here are the women during the week running around doing everything for everyone else. This was a 2.2 million acre property I was living on, and I started talking to my boss at the time, the mum of the four boys that I was governessing for, about how we have to do something. Could see there was a need for something just for women. I noticed that on the weekends we'd have these social occasions, and instead of going along to have a good time, the women are chasing after the kids, they're taking the slice, they're manning the barbecue, they're just not getting a break. And it's sort of this Ladies' Day happens in the territory, and they've been going for years and years, and it's sort of like prawns and lunch and a glass of wine and do a bit of market stall shopping and head home. But in the Channel Country, the distance is so vast that you can't come for 2 hours of lunch and then head home. So it became a weekend, and it's now just had its 10th event. So it's really cool to see how that's grown over time. And yeah, and then coming to New Zealand, at first I couldn't, I was struggling to see exactly how it fitted. I couldn't quite visualize it with the mag, but then the magazine happened, and then I was like, oh, now I see. Like, the event is basically a physical form of the magazine. It's about connecting, it's about a minute for yourself. Yeah, and just to get off the farm and talk to other women and talk about issues that you don't always get to talk about day to day. So we've got sex and relationships therapist coming along, and talk about relationships, talk about intimacy, come and get a pleasure toy from the stall, Yeah, just those kind of things that are really important and often often not discussed. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really important that the backbone of most families is the woman. Yeah, again, sometimes that is the men. We're not saying that the men aren't very important here, but it is really important that they're spending time for themselves. And it usually is, it's a Mother's Day or something that they just feel like they can treat themselves, and that's it. So it's so awesome. And how many have you got coming along?
Well, we are so close. We're about to run out of tickets, but 300 people in total at
And they're
Mortu.
all camping on site, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. So we're taking over the Mortu school. So Mortu school did have seven kids in it. I don't know what it's up to now, but it's a very small little village, an hour out of Gisborne, up in the hills. And yeah, we're taking over the farmer, sheep and beef farmer over the road. Or the couple have kindly lent their paddock for the camping, and we're in the at the school. So yeah, it's going to be a really cool weekend. Yeah.
Awesome. I hope it does go well, and fingers crossed that no natural disasters or anything get in your way before then. And we look forward to hearing how that all goes. But aside from the muster, we've seen a wee bit appearing on TV. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that one came about again. Like, sometimes these things take a, like we were talking about before, that effort behind the scenes to come to fruition. So it was about just over 2 years ago, and I had an initial conversation with Sky about, yeah, a television series. And so I started work to pull that together. And then there was sort of a time last year we spent out on the road filming. We went to six communities or six villages around New Zealand, down in your neck of the woods in Southland, and to Tokanui, right through to Porongaho and Tora and Kurau, and yeah, Upper Motetti, so yeah, all over North and South Island. And yeah, just really the purpose of, I guess vision for the show is to shine a light on women and their day-to-day lives. And yeah, we filmed with three women in each of those communities. So yeah, again, stories of women that, it's that day-to-day, relatable, the learnings, what they've been through, what they've overcome, what they're dealing with now. Yeah, life in small town New Zealand.
So if anyone's listening and they're like, okay, I have heard of Ship It Is, but I haven't actually got myself a hand on that magazine or don't know where to go to get it, how do they go about getting it? And when also, if they haven't seen it come on the TV, where do they go to watch the TV series?
Good question. So you can jump online to our website, which is shepherdess.co.nz, and we do have back copies, subscriptions through our website. But also, we're stocked in over 450 outlets around the country. So in New World and Pack and Save and Countdown and Dairies and Newsagents and things, there is a stockist locator on our website to find which specific ones. And then television is available on Sky Go, and it's also streaming on Neon, so it's free to air. Anyone could go and watch it. You just set up a quick account with Sky Go, and yeah, can catch up on all the six episodes.
And is there a plan to do more episodes of the TV? Series
Hopefully.
two?
I hope so. Yeah, watch this space.
Yeah. So, where are you thinking going forward? You've achieved so much in what is, 4 years? Yeah, not quite. And there's obviously some more plans in place. Where do you see the future of Shepherdess and where to from here?
Good question. I guess I have a vision, or sort of like in the back of my head, like a overall kind of goal. But I think it's still early days for us now, and just refining what we're doing at the moment. Yeah, I guess what drives me is wanting to have the biggest impact we can. I think, yeah, we've been so fortunate with what we've been able to do so far. So just perfecting the magazine, getting the muster to be a wonderful annual event that we can all look forward to in the calendar. The plan is to rotate it between North and South Island and come to a new community each year. So if you South Islanders listening have a suggestion for a location, let me know. Yeah, and I think the foray into television has been really exciting. It's the same. At the core is the heart of it is the same as what we're doing in print, but it's just a different format. So how do we continue to evolve with that? Yeah, but just keeping on doing the magazine well and getting it out to more people who need it. If we can keep getting women writing in like they did with TV and like they do with the mag, where they talk about the impact that the stories have had on them and how they feel about their life in rural New Zealand and how it's given them a sense of, happiness or support during what can be tough times, then I think that's very heartening. Yeah.
And I think it's a huge credit to yourself, Chrissy, for bringing all your ideas into action and being able to produce this wonderful magazine and have this wonderful team around you. So congratulations. I'm sure you're always looking for content, and I'm sure if listeners knew of somebody that they think, actually, yeah, you've got to talk to them, they can send that through as well. Are they best to do that just either on the Instagram or website? And you've got social media channels there as well. Is it just Instagram or you've got Facebook as well? And
Yeah, we're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. But yeah, send it through. On our website, there's a spot to submit story ideas. Yeah, under submission. So yeah, we'd love to hear ideas.
yeah, I'm sure there's many out there, and there's probably even a few husbands that would go, my wife, she's superwoman and needs some credit. I'll get some brownie points and do that. It might be brownie points if she wants to talk, I suppose. As I said, Christy, it's a privilege to be behind you with Beef and Lamb New Zealand and support this and sharing stories and this collaborative effort we have as a sector to be able to share the great stuff that's happening out there, and hopefully, as you said, empower others to continue to be uplifted, inspired, and for everyone out there that they're doing a great job and that everybody is having an impact, no matter how big or small it is. So we look forward to continuing working alongside you and look forward to reading many more issues. So as said, there's 16 out there. So if you haven't actually picked up one, you can have a good pile behind you to read with some amazing stories in it. And yeah, I've read a few of the blogs that have come out as well through your website and that, and those are awesome as well for those different avenues. So you've got a whole lot of different avenues to tell those stories, and I think that's just amazing. Before we finish up, is there anything else you wanted to leave with those that are listening today out there in the land?
I just think that don't ever feel restricted by where you are, by where you live in the country. Your location, however remote that might be, can be a huge asset. And yeah, there's so many opportunities out there. So yeah, just the world is your oyster. Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much, Christy. And hopefully, you've all learned a little bit more about shepherdess and the value it is adding to you as farmers.